No doubt, if you were growing up, you've watched Westerns, and somewhere in that Western, they would have Indian blood brothers. There was a trust built up between maybe two tribes of the Indians or maybe a white man and Indian. And in essence, what they would do is take this big honking knife and they would cut their hands until they bled. And when they shook those hands, they knew that life was in the blood, and they shared, in essence, what they said was life with each other. It was an ancient, solemn pact between non-related individuals. Other tribes had this. The Vikings did this and so forth. It was a covenant is what it was. The mixing of their blood shared life, an irrevocable bond. It was a covenantal bond that continued throughout their life. Jesus said it like this. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Ask you a question. Have you ever been frustrated with God? Oh, no, Randy, we shouldn't even think like that. That was the question. Have you ever been frustrated with God? He didn't do what you thought he should do. Didn't do it as quick as you thought he should do. Have you ever been frustrated with God? That's the way the disciples were during the Last Supper. Okay? I want you to get their understanding. They were frustrated because they could not quite pick up what Jesus was teaching. It was not going to be the same as always. And they're having difficulty grasping it. The disciples were arguing with one another which one would be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And before the supper even started, Jesus, with the evening meal, got up. He took off his outer robe and he put him on himself, the robe, if you will, of a slave. And he bent down and he washed the feet of all the disciples. Immediately Peter goes, "This is not the same. Something is different." As Jesus took the place of the lowest servant in the household, Peter objected. "No, Jesus, you're not doing my feet." And Jesus said, "If I don't do your feet, you're not part of me." And Peter goes, "Well, do all of me then, okay?" That's the way he was, all of me. Jesus said, "No, when I cleanse you, that's enough." Then we come to the feast of the Passover in Luke 22, 14 and 16. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." What in the world is Jesus talking about? Can you see that flowing in their minds? "I have eagerly desired to eat with us for 3 or 4 times." What is this about, Jesus? See, we have these guys on pedestals that think they had it all figured out. Folks, they were just like us. They were trying to figure out what Jesus was doing. In essence, we are better off than they were because we're on the other side and we see it all. But they just haven't got it figured out. Why do you eagerly desire to do this, Jesus? What's the fine fulfillment mean? What is this all about? And he's talking about a fulfillment of peace. When the death angel passed over the land of Egypt, all the Israelites who had done the sacrifice and put the blood of the lamb on the doorposts, the death angel passed over. It was so peaceful that it says in Exodus 11, 7, "But among the Israelites, not a dog will bark at any person or animal. Then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel." All was peace in the land of Goshen. It was chaotic and fearful everywhere else, but there it was peaceful. Peace and security in the midst of God's wrath. He does not always keep us away from his wrath, but he always provides a way through his wrath. Noah and the flood, there was a way through that. All you had to do is be sure and be on the boat. But they didn't want that. There was a way through it. See, all of Scripture points to the Lord Jesus Christ, guys. All of it points to him. They go on in the evening meal. And he took the bread. Now, they're having this meal, okay? They've got the Passover lamb. It's been roasted. They had to keep this lamb for 4 days in their house or really close because that kind of made it personal. And they were to eat the lamb, all of it. They were not to break any of its bones. Remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? So in the middle of this, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is or represents my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You can kind of see Peter go, "What? What is Jesus doing? This does not make sense to me." And in essence, what he's saying is this is going to be the fulfillment of Isaiah 53, 4, and 6. "Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Folks, they did not understand that because they did not teach it that way. They taught that that was referencing the nation of Israel. And Jesus is answering, saying, "No, it's me. This is what I'm going to do." They couldn't figure it out, guys. They could not figure out what was going on. But this is why we have forgiveness of our rebellion towards God. Because the Lord laid on the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross the iniquity, the sin, the rebellion of each one of us. It's the only reason we could get forgiveness. 1 Peter 2, 24 and 5 said it like this. "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness." Folks, that happens here in this life. We continually die to the sins, we seek repentance, and we keep yearning for that righteousness. And one of these days when the Lord returns, we will get a glorified body, and folks, we will live in righteousness. Until that time, we will fight this old body of sin. "By his wounds you have been healed. For we were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." We spend so much time trying to make this thing happy that what really needs to make sure is that our souls are taken care of by the Lord Jesus. They are eternal. He goes on, and they're still probably going, what does all this mean? And they didn't know what it meant till after the resurrection, guys. "In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.'" Now you can see him going, we've got the law. The law is the covenant of God. What's this new covenant thing that Jesus is talking about? He's never talked like this before. A new covenant, a covenant of grace and mercy, established by the Lord Jesus' death, replacing the old Mosaic law. You want to be right with God? Before the cross, it was living by the old Mosaic law. After the cross and the resurrection, it's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. It offers internal transformation. Now he has written God's law on our hearts rather than on stones, resulting in a full and eternal forgiveness of sins. That deserves a hearty amen. Full and eternal forgiveness of sins. The indwelling of the Spirit of God. Of all the gifts he could give us here on this earth, he placed within us his blessed Holy Spirit, empowering us, leading us to what is right and true, and sealing us in the day of direction, we'll get that in a minute. A direct, intimate knowledge of God, and Ephesians 4:30, we are sealed for the day of total and complete redemption. Folks, that is what we are celebrating this morning. We are instructed by Jesus to continue observing the remembrance of his sacrifice, covenant of peace, until he returns, because, folks, we get distracted. Every week here, we mention the cross of Jesus Christ. We mention the resurrection, but it's easy to get distracted because of this world. So he says, I want some special time where that is the focus. And I want you to go through this ordinance. And he didn't tell us how often to do it. Go through this ordinance to help you remember. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Folks, he is coming back again. He's coming back again to make all things new. We sang about that this morning. He is in the process of doing that. When's it going to happen? Only God knows. Well, this person over here says it's going to be in 6 weeks. Sleep good for six more weeks, guys, because he don't know. Okay? No one knows. When Jesus walked into the earth, he said, I don't even know. Only the Father knows. Sure, he knows by now, but no. But we need to be careful how we observe this. Look what Paul says. So if anyone eats this bread and drinks from this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner. Now, what's that mean? You've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Don't do it. These are for those whose lives have been changed by the Lord Jesus Christ, those whose lives have been secured by the Lord Jesus Christ. But even as a born-again child of God, if you have active rebellion in your life, don't take it. There's sin in your life that God has put his hand around and says, take this away, do this, whatever that is. And you keep saying, no, don't do it. Don't do it. If there is issues in your life that you are struggling with and you're seeking to change your life, take it. Take it. Because all of us are sinners that we struggle with things. But if you're taking your little hand and going, no, Lord. No, Lord. I wouldn't take it. Why? He is guilty of sin against the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, I'm not sure exactly what all that means, but it doesn't sound very good. That is why a man should examine himself carefully before eating the bread and drinking from the cup. You are responsible to examine yourself, your heart, your work. Is there something you need to repent from this morning before you take it? We're going to give that opportunity in a minute. Examine your heart. Have you ever truly accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You don't know? Now's the day to do it. Now's the day to do it. For he eats and drinks the bread from the cup unworthily, not thinking about the body of Christ and what it means. You're just going through the motions. Be careful. Be careful. Yes, God is a God of grace. But when it comes to the sacrifice of Jesus and the resurrection, folks, he's very strict on that. It cost him everything so that we might come before him in righteousness. He is eating and drinking God's judgment upon himself, for he is trifling with the death of Christ. I like the way the Living Bible said it. We trifle with the life of Christ so often as born-again children of God. It does not have first priority in our lives. So I'm going to give you the opportunity this morning to get right with the Lord, to make sure, to judge yourself. If you stand with me, please. We're going to have a song, and it's going to play, and the altars are going to be open. Be getting yourself ready for communion. Father, as we come before you now, may you please, 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 present our, get our hearts ready with you. May we just so think about and be grateful for what you have done in our lives, what it cost you to allow sinful me to be able to stand accepted before you. And so, Lord, if there's something in my life right now that makes me unworthy, I pray that you tell me that. The Spirit has come to lead us to all truth. Tell us that. But Father, also seal us now. Bless, and I give you the praise for your glory alone. Amen.